Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the topic of today's program is, Wake Up, O Ye Sleeper. Wake Up, O Ye Sleeper. We're going to be talking about the importance of being watchful and being alert, specifically in the days that we are living in, because the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. And the question is, how will it catch us? Will we be alert or will we be sleeping? Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts, as well as to our live feed. We have on there different Christian content that's continually rotating and playing. We invite you to also give us some feedback if you do listen to the program and let us know what you think, what you like, any suggestions that you may have. It's always a blessing to be able to hear from our listeners. You can write to us either at the contact page or you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook where we weekly post up the podcast from the prior week. You can also visit us on iTunes where you can subscribe for automatic downloads, or you can download the free app that is both available for Android as well as iOS, so you can be able to listen to our podcast on demand. You can also contact us via phone at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kind of lead us in prayer today?
Amen. Father God, tonight we come before you, Lord, so that you could open our eyes, Lord, that we may see the coming wraths, and that many of us, Father, could turn and change and come to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. In these last 10 to 15 years, we have seen an incredible frequency in world-changing events. See, one of the things that Jesus tells us about the last days, he says they would be like birth pains. And that is precisely what happens to a woman before she gives labor, is that those birth pains begin to increase in frequency and increase in intensity. We have seen many world-changing events exactly in this manner. We're seeing nations like Venezuela descending into chaos. We've seen epidemics like the Ebola virus that has put fear in the heart of the world. We have seen war and genocide in the Middle East, where thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have been killed, murdered, displaced. Christians are being persecuted all over the world. Yet with all these events, particularly here in the U.S., though we are a people that have access to the most up-to-date information through technology, seem to be the most disconnected, the most distracted. We have access to all this information, but yet we're very ignorant to the reality of the world events that are going on today. We are distracted with our smartphones, our iPods, our iPads, video games, and even things that are necessary, like our careers, our jobs. It's not a common thing to be out in a restaurant and see two people sitting at the same table, but completely somewhere else, each of them on their smartphone. People have even lost their lives because of these distractions. From car accidents to falling off a cliff, there was a man not too long ago who was on his smartphone, and he was up in some mountains or something. I know it was somewhere in the Midwest. And because he was paying attention to his phone, he didn't realize that there was a precipice below him, and he fell to his death. According to a recent study that was done, Americans spend an average of 2.5 hours per day on their cell phones. That is about 15% of our day, considering you sleep for 7 or 8 hours. And just to put that in perspective, 2.5 hours per day is 38 days in a year. That means that the average American spends a little over a month on their phone. Can you imagine that? Just being on your phone for 38 days straight? How much of a waste of time that is? That should shock us. We need to wake up as Americans, as this technology is robbing us of what is most precious to us, our time. Time is the most precious thing that we have. It is what we can never regain. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, how much money you have in the bank. No matter how much gold, how much money you have, you cannot buy one more minute of time. And this problem of distractions has also invaded the church. Churches are resorting more and more to gimmicks in order to grab the attention of young people because they can't seem to focus. Many in the church are asleep. And of course, when we talk about sleep, we're speaking about sleep in a spiritual way, in a way that the Bible speaks about being asleep. However, even though we speak about it in a spiritual manner, yet there are some similarities that this spiritual slumber has with physical sleep. See, the word sleep, when you look it up in the dictionary, is defined as a condition of body and mind, such as that which typically recurs for several hours every night, in which the nervous system is relatively inactive, the eyes closed, and the postural muscles relaxed, and consciousness practically suspended. Again, it is a condition of the body and mind that recurs for several hours every night, in which the nervous system is relatively inactive, the eyes closed, and the postural muscles relaxed, and consciousness practically suspended. Look what the Word of God says in regards to spiritual sleep. In the scriptures of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, the scripture says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." When he's speaking about the day of the Lord, he's speaking about the tribulation. He's speaking about the day where the time where Jesus is to come upon the earth. And it says in verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as it's a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." In verse 6, the Apostle Paul exhorts us. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober." See, Paul was warning, even here at this specific time, about 2,000 years ago, to the Church of Thessalonians, "Don't fall asleep. Be alert. Be sober, so that that day does not catch you by surprise." Now, if this message of imminence, of urgency, was given to that church, how much more urgent today, how much more imminent is the coming of our Lord Jesus now? And that's why it's so important for us, brothers and sisters, to be awake and to be watching, so that the coming of our Lord does not catch us by surprise. So the question is, are you watching or are you asleep? How can you tell if you are sleeping? Well, first of all, as we read in the definition of sleep, the first thing that is affected in physical sleep is the nervous system. You see, the nervous system is the system in the body that is responsible for movement. It's responsible for your muscles being able to be used to perform actions. Typically, when a person has a serious injury to the nervous system, it often results in paralysis or in some kind of impairment with regards to movement. So the first symptom of being asleep is inactivity. Look what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. The scripture says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Not slothful, not lazy in work, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, we are called to serve God. Every single Christian that has been born again has been given a gift by which to serve the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. But you do have a gift. God has given you a gift. And if you're not exercising that gift, then you in a way, are putting the body of Christ at a disadvantage. Now, granted, I'm not saying that you're just to get up and do anything, but rather to seek God and ask Him to reveal to you what that gift is that He has given you. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the things that happens in inactivity that we see in the physical world, and typically we see this with men when they retire, they begin to quickly deteriorate. Their muscles begin to atrophy because the human body is meant to work and our faith is meant to be exercised. When we are not being challenged in our spiritual walk, we get spiritually lazy. And that's why one of the greatest times of testing in our lives is typically the times when we get closer to God. But when everything seems to be all right, when we don't have something to pray for, when we don't have some conflict in our lives, we get the temptation of just sitting back and enjoying the ride. And that's why when we look at history, we see that the times where the church really began to lose its momentum and the impact that it had on society was when it began to accept the compromises that the devil was offering. Specifically, we can look back at the time of Rome. While there was persecution, Christianity flourished. Christians were bold about their faith. But the minute that Rome accepted Christianity as its official religion, that's when all the apostasy started to come in. That's when all these pagan traditions started to be introduced into the church. That's when the church started to be filled with unconverted people. Because it's only through adversity and challenge that we really grow. So if we as Christians are inactive in our faith, if we are not continually seeking to grow by seeking the Lord, by seeking Him in prayer, by not being satisfied with where we're at, it's very easy for us to begin to atrophy. It's very easy for us to fall asleep. That's why it's so important to serve others. At times it's not only for the needs that others have, but for us to also grow. I mean, it doesn't matter. You may have the gift of administration. It may be that God is calling you to teach. Whatever it may be, God has given it to you, not so you can feel like there's something, like you're, it's not so you can become prideful about the gift. But it's so that you can have something to offer back to Him. That's how wonderful God is that He gives us a gift, but it's not for us to stay with it. It's for us to offer it on the altar and give it up to God so that when we come before Him, we are not empty-handed. We get to participate in the work of the Lord. The second symptom of sleep, as we read in the definition of what sleep is that your eyes begin to close. As the nervous system begins to slow in its activity, our sight begins to grow dim as our eyes begin to close, and soon it's lights out. Look at what the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." He says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, or be filled with light, that your eyes be filled with light. The eyes of your understanding. See, brothers, this is very important because the scripture calls us to understand. Look at what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 and 7, it says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? We are to get understanding. Paul says that the eyes of your understanding be filled with light. The scripture tells us in Hosea 4 verse 6 that my people, God's people, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You see, when you fall asleep, you are unaware of your surroundings. But we, as Christians, and if anyone compared to anyone else in our society, should have an understanding of the times that we are living in. Christians should be aware of the things that are going on. But unfortunately, many Christians are living in ignorance. They are ignorant of the devil's schemes, so they constantly fall, never able to have victory against sin, because the devil makes them believe that they are bound to this sin forever. You see, brothers and sisters, when we look at the battle that we have against Satan, his greatest weapon is deception. And the greatest weapon that we have, the Bible tells us that we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the Word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. And through that, using that weapon, we cut through the lies of the enemy. Not only are there Christians that are ignorant of Satan's devices, but there are some that are ignorant of the seriousness of sin, taking sin lightly when the cross is a testament of God's hatred of sin. Not only is God's love revealed at the cross, but also his hatred for sin, his justice. How the wrath of God was absorbed by his Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And the reason why such ignorance exists, the reason why there is not this wide understanding throughout all Christianity, is because ignorance of the Word of God. See, the scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and giveth understanding unto the simple. See, what did Paul say? He said, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, be filled with light. And here the psalmist says, the entrance of thy words, the words of God, give light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. It's like these words, these two verses, what Paul was saying, correlate directly. The true opening of our eyes comes through the Word of God, not through the falsities of the world. You see, when the Adam and Eve, they eat of the fruit, the Bible says that their eyes were open to know between right and wrong. But they didn't need to know that what they were doing was wrong. They didn't need to eat the fruit to have their eyes open in that manner if only they would have obeyed God and his commandment. See, the devil promises some kind of enlightenment, but all it is deception and rebellion against God. Because the real truth, the opening of the eyes, really only comes through the Word of God, because it removes the veil that society and the world has put. We are to see the world through the lens of Scripture. Again, it is the sword of the Spirit, which we use to destroy the lies of the devil. And if you're not setting aside time to be in God's Word, if you're not giving importance to the Word of God in your life, then chances are pretty high that you are sleeping. And you need to wake up. You need to read His Word. It's His Word that alerts us of the dangers that are looming in the world today. Number three, the last couple of symptoms of sleep, according to the definition that we saw, are the relaxing of postural muscles and the consciousness practically suspended. See, it's very hard to go to sleep unless you are in a comfortable position. If you lay down, once you lay down and you have a nice pillow and you have a comfy bed, you start to fall asleep almost immediately. The question is, are you comfortable in this world? Are you comfortable being like everyone else, listening to the same things the world listens to, watching all the popular TV shows? Are you into all the latest fads? Or is there something inside of you that's telling you there's something going on here that is not right? See, as Christians, as born again people, that word born again in the scripture means to be born from above. We are not of this world. We are called to be different, to be pure, to live lives of sanctity and holiness. Look what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, present your bodies to God, that you may serve God with your body, because that is the way that you worship Him. And then in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. See, that word conformed in the Greek means to be molded into. Do not be molded into the world. Do not fall into its mold. Do not be like the world. And when we look at this, this is why we can look around and tell why so many churches are sleeping. Because they are being molded into this world. They are comfortable in the course and being just like the world. And of course, I'm not referencing to dress or worship style, but rather motivations. When you have churches that are more... They care more about numbers, care more about style, care more about the amount of notoriety that they receive instead of desiring to make disciples. There's a reason for concern. And the reason why these churches are sleeping is because their leaders are sleeping. In Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 10, God tells Israel about how the watchmen, those men who are supposed to be standing up on those watchtowers to let Israel know, to let the people know of incoming danger, he says they're sleeping. They're supposed to be watching for the enemy. They're supposed to be watching out, letting my people know when to prepare for war. But instead, they're sleeping. Our leaders are not watching in prayer. They're satisfied in their talents and their ability to be able to speak. And many are ignorant of God's word because they're failing to see the danger that is ahead. They fail to warn the church of the danger that is looming. But today, we want to ring the alarm. We want to say to wake up. Stop focusing your life on anything other than Jesus. Because when He comes, the only thing that's going to matter, it's not going to be how you built up your business. It's not going to be the degree that you got. It's going to be, how much did you love? How great was your desire to know Him and to walk with Him? Look at what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You see, brothers and sisters, when we get occupied with the things of the world, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't work, I'm not saying that you shouldn't attend to the things that you're responsible for. God is not calling us to be irresponsible, but it's about priorities. It is our priority, our relationship with Christ, because everything else will flow from there. If we have a healthy relationship with Christ, we'll know how to lead our families. We'll be excellent workers. Christ will give us the grace that we need to be able to handle all other aspects of our lives, so long as we allow Him to be the center in our lives. I encourage you today, brother and sister, don't let the enemy deceive you by making you feel comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone and seek after the Lord. Seek after Him in prayer. Read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to transform you and to give you life, to give you the light of Jesus.
Amen. I want to look at a scripture. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 54 through 56. Then Jesus said to the crowds, "As soon as you see a cloud rising in the west, you say, 'A shower is coming.' And that is what happens. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It will be hot.' And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? I do not know what's going on in this world, but I think people are not understanding or are unaware of the dangers that are lurking near us. The other day, I read in an article that said, North Korea launches ICBM for the second time in a month. Says all of US is within missile range. According to a news analyst, North Korea's first ICBM on July was capable of reaching Alaska, and this latest one even further. The U.S. military conducted a test Wednesday, August 2nd, of an unarmed intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM, officials said just days after North Korea conducted its own ICBM launch. North Korea has announced a detailed plan to launch, to launch a salvo of ballistic missiles towards the U.S. Pacific territory of Guam, a major military hub and home to U.S. bombers. And lastly, Trump threatens fire and fury against North Korea if it endangers the U.S. Most people don't understand what a nuclear bomb is capable of doing. Do you understand that one nuclear bomb can kill millions of people, let alone the aftermath? Radiation fallout stays on the ground and our water supply, killing even more millions than the blast. Worst of all, many preachers aren't warning the people. Instead, teaching prosperity, fairy tales, and adventures that will lead to death. Millions will die and go to hell. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 5 through 7, says this: they don't warn the people about the coming trouble or tell them how dangerous it is to sin against me. Those prophets lie by claiming they speak for me, but I have not even chosen them to be my prophets. And they still think their words will come true. They say they are preaching my message, but they are full of lies. I do not speak to them. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what's going on, but our whole focus should be on Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. During times of trouble and tribulation, wars and rumors of wars, we can't run to shelters, brothers and sisters. We can't run to caves. Those of us who have read the scriptures and understand that there is no safety in these places. When the end of the world comes, brothers and sisters, everybody, everywhere, is going to see the fury. Everyone is going to be affected. The only solution is Jesus. And what are we supposed to be telling people? The way to salvation. The way to refuge. It's the only way. The way of refuge and the way of salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And perhaps many of you have never encountered Jesus or have never given your life to Jesus. But the Bible says that all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart, to repent, and ask him to forgive your sins, and recognize that the Father raised him from the dead. And the Bible says if you do this, believing in your heart, you are saved. And today I just want to lead you through a prayer. And this prayer will determine your destiny. Father God, tonight I repent, Lord, of all my sins. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I come to you tonight recognizing that God the Father raised you from the dead. And tonight, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive me and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We hope that you do make the decision to follow Jesus. Because the Bible speaks that there will be a day when the system will cease to exist. You see, one of the things about human beings is that we easily get caught up in the routine. We think that tomorrow will be just like today, that the day after would be just like the day before. But everything can change in one moment. Jesus says in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And that's important to know, because all over the world, since the beginning of time, have we seen nations rise and fall. But yet the word of God has always been preserved and has always been accurate. The last greatest prediction, prophecy that the word of God told us about was about the prophecy of Israel coming back to the land and becoming a nation. The word of God is true. The word of God is real. And then he says in verse 32, he says, but the day and that hour no man knoweth, though not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Watch and pray. To be watching is to be alert. To be watching is to be aware of the things that are going on in the world and know that this is the time for us, like Brother Lewis mentioned, to spread the gospel. To care for the souls of men. And we watch through prayer. That's how we grow, through prayer and scripture. For you know not when the time is. And listen, it may not be something that happens worldwide. It may be something that just happens to your life. But you don't know. When you wake up in the morning, you have absolutely no idea what you're going to face on that day. We may think that we're just going to go through a routine day. We go to work, take care of our things, come home at a certain time, have dinner, and so on and so on. But we have no idea what is going to get into the mix in that day that we do not expect. That's why it's important for us to spend time with God, so that we can be prepared to face whatever we have to face on a daily basis. And he says, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Let us not be caught sleeping, brother and sister. Let us make a decision today that we're going to seek after God. He's the one that gives us the grace to change. He's the one that gives us the power and ability to be able to obey His word. But it begins by repentance, and we walk through prayer, and we receive understanding through the word and through the Spirit. I encourage you today. We encourage you today to awake from the slumber and get serious with God, because your eternity is much more important than anything you can experience on this earth. What 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years that you could live on this earth compared to eternity? It's absolutely nothing. It's not even a speck compared to eternity. Get serious about your eternity today. Just cry out to God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Father God, tonight, we pray for your people, Father, and those that don't know you. those just like in the day of Noah that were outside the ark. As the waters broke and they saw their end, those in Sodom and Gomorrah that saw the fire coming from the sky. Father, I pray for those people that are lost and those that know you that are not warning the people of the signs of the end time. I pray, Father, that you will give them understanding. And Father, open the eyes of the people that don't know you, Father, so they could see. They could see the road that leads to salvation. We pray for them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. We thank you for tuning in today to Radio Redemption and Power. We hope that tonight's broadcast has been a blessing for you. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts, as well as our live feed. You can also subscribe for automatic download through iTunes, or you can download the free app that is both available for Android as well as iPhones or iOS. So it can be an iPod or an iPad. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or contact us at 305-320-7727. Thank you again for tuning in. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Awake from your sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give us light. He will lift our heads. We turn to him in song. Awaken the dawn. Awake from your sleep. It's nearer than before. Salvation is him. He's knocking at our door. We'll turn to him in song. Awaken the dawn. Sing, tell there's nothing left to bring. To the seat of grace we climb, step by step through these difficult times. God knows.